Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Trick Podcast of Joy and Gozo TV on this lovely Friday night, April 3rd, 2020. Welcome back to my channel. Welcome back to this video streaming live on Periscope, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, all the rest. Twitch, make sure that you like, comment, subscribe, leave me a comment below, say hello. Share this broadcast with all of your followers. Let them know that today we're talking about how to handle stress as a highly sensitive person. How to handle stress as a highly sensitive person, HSP, as Susan Cain called it in her classic book, Quiet. So imagine I was maybe 8 years old, flying from another country here to LAX with my five-year-old sister, alone. No parents, no mom, no dad, no one in the airplane to take care of us, no cell phone, no Uber, no money. I'm 8 years old. My sister is relying on me, and truth be told, I felt pretty confident flying all the way here from my home country. We landed, and everything seemed to be going well, except when we got off the plane, my grandmother wasn't there. My uncle wasn't there. There was nowhere to pick us up. And LAX at the time felt like a really dangerous place. I mean, you could say that even today, but imagine as an eight-year-old, I didn't speak a word of English. I hardly spoke Spanish. I mean, I hardly spoke. I was a very quiet boy. I know it's hard to imagine, but... And naturally, as you would, my little sister began to cry as we sat, I think, on our backpacks and in our jackets, because my mom had given us, my guess is, a backpack and a couple of jackets because, you know, the U.S. is always cold. And so we sat there and I began to, I guess, probably draw a blank, it would be my guess. I was in shock myself, not knowing what to do. But something within me just woke up and thought, okay, I need to get some help here. Again, no language. I'm 8 years old. I've never been to the United States of America in my whole life. Never been to LAX. My sister is crying. She's acting normal. I wanted to cry as well. I don't really know exactly what happened, but I think I spoke to someone in charge, someone that walked by, someone who looked like they knew what they were doing, and what maybe was only a few minutes, it felt like hours when finally the lady from the airport or from the airplane that was supposed to be in charge of us showed up, and I'm sure she apologized. I don't think I was crying, but I probably felt like crying. And then in a matter of minutes, my grandma and my uncle showed up and all was well. You know, right now for highly sensitive people and creatives like you and me, this whole crisis feels exactly like that moment at the airport for me. I feel numb, like I know what I'm supposed to do and I do it. And yet inside I am panicking, and yet something maybe even deeper inside of me is at peace and knows what to do and is looking for help and is leading my sister and believes and trusts that help will come at the right time. Now, you fast forward that in terms of my airport story to when I was maybe in my high school years, and I felt similar feelings because of immigration fears, and even though I was pretty popular in school and very good at school, I remember feeling pretty alone, probably for similar reasons. I was very artistic, very unique. I'm an Enneagram 4, in case you know the Enneagram, Enneagram 4, Wing 3. So I'm a creative with kind of a doer mentality. And I remember being in my grandma's apartment where I grew up and feeling pretty happy, even though there was so much chaos around me. The language was still an issue at times. I was bullied 2-3 times when I was younger, maybe like 8 years old, right around that time when I first came to the U.S. And I felt very special, and yet I couldn't quite break through to the culture. And so when I would come to my room in my grandma's apartment there on 8th and Raymond, 7th and Cherry, shout out to the 310-213-562. I would grab my guitar, and my guitar became my salvation, my comfort. I played in church and people loved it. Something I had done since I was a little boy with my father back in my home church. And so it was natural for me to just sing. And by the grace of God, I sang well enough and played well enough, or maybe I was cute or both. And people loved it. And the love that I received, the affirmation, comforted me, made me feel unique, special, accepted. And that creativity, that artistic nature in me found a niche, found a home in music, in singing, in the church. So all of these things began to make sense, and it brought me a lot of peace. Now, again, fast forward to these days with this virus and all that's happening. I, at times, have struggled to find my rhythm. Sometimes I'll go too fast and want to save the world. Sometimes I'll get too low and give in to my fears. But I find that for me, as a sensitive type, creative type, often misunderstood, because especially as men, people misunderstand sensitive men. And, you know, the typical man is more of a bravado type person, which I sometimes try to act in my super ego like I'm that, but I'm not. I'm a creative, I'm a sensitive person, and really someone who cares and who's sensitive to feelings. And so in these moments, I found that my peace is more in the middle. In, for example, this morning, or was it yesterday, I read the scriptures just for my own soul. Not to preach, not to podcast, not to impress me or God or you or anyone, but for my own soul. And I love those moments because I don't remember what I read. When you're a preacher, you're always looking at the text through the lens of an audience. And that's good. I love it. I love that. But it's different because when I read it for my soul, I don't even remember what I read. It's just a feeling of peace that comes over me. And so I've read about Noah. I've read Galatians about foolishness. Of course, I've read the Psalms. I've read prayers, just prayers. I have this lectionary that I have loved for many years. Another book called Common Prayers by Shane Claiborne. And that's calmed all of my anxious thoughts that want to take over. All of the lies that can come into this creative mind. And as you know, if you're a creative, negativity or stress is the worst thing for a creative. Like in basketball, they say that certain basketball players can't play mad. Well, creatives, we can't play when stressed. When we're stressed, we can't love because we're spending so much energy hanging on, trying to weather the storm. And so earlier this afternoon, I had one of those moments of clarity, like hallelujah moments. You know what I'm talking about? Like everything just became clear and I felt free from all of the stuff that I was feeling. And then it kind of came back, you know, kind of the weight, heaviness, but then just an hour ago, it lifted. It went away again. And prayer, praying against demonic powers, because that's involved for sure, especially in the creative type. Part of it is just temperament, and it's just our giftedness, so not all of it is bad. At the end of the day, I'm thankful to be a creative and a feeler and an empath, because it pushes me towards Jesus, towards the beautiful stories of the Bible, towards loving people, towards feeling my way through life, even though for a man in this world, that can be a dangerous proposition. But I am willing more and more to be the creative that God has made me to be, to lead out of that love affair that I have with my Savior, to lead out of that deep sense of rejection that comes from the devil, not to lead from that, but to acknowledge that, to then let God's music, God's presence heal me, and then be able to come out to my wife, to our children, to be present in the world, to my church, to you, in a beautiful way, as a beautiful man that I am, that God created me to be. I have done such beautiful things in my life. I've created beautiful art. I don't paint, but, you know, I love music. I love speaking. I love stories. I can get caught up in negative stories sometimes, and that's where I have to push away that darkness. But when I'm at my best, again, a lot of Enneagram 4 stuff here, I am a very caring person, a very reasonable person. I can see things very clearly. Things don't confuse me. I've noticed that under stress, I can become disconnected, disengaged, not because of pride or ego, but because of shame. I feel like, well, if you only knew me as I really am right now, then you wouldn't want to be my friend. And yet, that's the lie, right? That's the opposite of what most people feel. They want to be near to you. And so, that's part of the story of four. I think one of the issues that I deal with is uniqueness. I want to be unique in everything that I do. And sometimes when you push so hard to be unique, you get discouraged when you are just like everybody else. When you realize that you're not that special. I don't mean in the eyes of God or my mom or my wife. I don't mean that. But just that you're not, let's say in my case, John Mayer or Dave Matthews. That I am me and I'm a worship leader. And I've never written a hit worship song. I probably never will. I'm not Joel Osteen. I'm not Billy Graham. All of these fantasies that us creatives have of kind of that super ego, that Superman that I think I need to be in order to overcome my weaknesses or insecurities or such. But in my strength, as I said, I'm a very compassionate person, very clear thinker, very direct, very able to lead masses, thousands, millions of people to the promised land with love, with imagination, with story, with compassion. I'll close with this. This week, like most weeks and like most churches, we've been closed. We haven't been able to meet except through Zoom and online on Sundays and Thursdays. So yesterday I had one of those just like bright moments, like, ah! And so I went to my church and did a vlog, and I posted it online. Just, it was talking about how much I miss worshiping with my church in the building, in the actual sanctuary, on that red carpet from 1960 with the stuff that we've had forever and the stains that I love and the, you know, just my church as it is. And it was one of those beautiful creative expressions that I'm so proud of. It wasn't rah-rah, we can do it. It wasn't depressing. It wasn't a bunch of lies or a bunch of promises. I wasn't being a politician or a game show host or a motivational speaker. I was just expressing how much I miss the people of my church, the viejitos, the children, my staff, my friends, the Spanish, the English, the different cultures, the different countries, the music, everything. Just walking up the steps. And I think it, maybe like for many of us, this loss that we're experiencing can perhaps touch our hearts for the things that we really, really value, the people that we value, the places that matter. I doubt we, even though right now we may miss Ralph's, I doubt we need Ralph's. I mean, you know what I mean, right? We need it for food and vegetables and toilet paper, but it's family that we miss right now. It's gathering as a church that we miss right now. It's loving each other without concern that we long. It's seeing each other's faces without masks that we miss right now. It's not having that fear that you might be infected or I might be infected. And so it's, we miss the freedom, the love. We miss the security, the safety of it all. And I think that's necessary. We had to have this reset in order to realize what really matters. And so when I landed at LAX when I was 8 years old, I never would have imagined that that story would become so epic for the rest of my life. Now as a 50-year-old, almost 51-year-old man, 40 years later, I never expected or thought that that would be such a representation of who I am, a young person, sometimes afraid and yet willing to step up and to lead his sister and really my future into existence, I guess. And that's what we're all doing right now, right? That's what you're doing as a mom, as a grandmother. That's what you're doing as a man, as a creative. That's what you're doing as a single parent, as a husband. That's what we're all doing as a young person or a child. That's what we're all doing right now. We have to lead our families through the Red Sea, through the masses of people at LAX. We have to get through this crisis together in love, helping the weak, helping those that are crying, so that we can be authentically us, so that we can realize our dreams. And this is the time for us to rise as creatives, as artists. So artists, write songs, lead. Entrepreneurs, create. Speakers, speak. Prophets, prophesy. Whatever your gift, whatever your talent is, this is the time for you and I to step up and to lead the way by being our authentic self, what's in here, letting what's in here first heal and then to come out to love others. So I hope that that helps in terms of my process and what I'm learning. I hope that you are doing well. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.